Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Time for the Brown Liquor Music Hour on the John Chuckery Show. You know how we do it on Friday. Get a little party music going with a little Johnny Taylor. A little disco lady. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We stream online at 929thegame.com. You can catch us live there as of the show's finest moments, breaking sports news, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device to catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you there. Follow us on Twitter, the best way to interact with the show. Follow me. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. By the way, we played this at the top of the show, and we had an 11-year-old, Parker, who's a big fan of the show, big fan of the station, loves listening to the station, fan of this show. And he had a little fun doing his own kind of version and remix of my intro. Now, you guys know I do my intro, and I got all the wrestling sounds. And, you know, I didn't, like, physically do the work of, like, splicing the audio together, but I put all of the audio clips and the intro and music and everything together of what I wanted to, on it. So here is young 11-year-old Parker, if you didn't get a chance to hear it at the start of the show, with his little remix version of my intro.
It might be the nighttime, but the sports talk never stops. It's time for the John Chuckery Show, live inside the Kia Studios. Sometimes loud noises, and sometimes telling it like it is, whoop, and sometimes always right. Yep, that's right, it's time for the John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studios. Take it away, John.
It's good stuff. He's got more energy than I do half the time. Thank you, Parker. That's cool stuff. Enjoy that. I'm out there corrupting the youth of America, one kid at a time. We're turning you to the dark side, Anakin. Good stuff. Thank you, Parker, for all of that, and appreciate you and everybody else listening out there. So the number one rated hour in nighttime Atlanta radio. We crank it up in the 10 o'clock hour. Speaking of cranking it up, let's get to our college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup. A complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Lots of stuff to get into. So there is a report going around, and this is kind of, I won't say breaking news because it's been out there for a little bit, but there is a report that there is a deal in place to bring Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss. Now, here's what I'll tell you. If that's true, then that's the sign that Ole Miss wants to be back in the football business. And that's, I was a little bit surprised that they fired Matt Luke. Not because Matt Luke's done anything there, just I didn't think they were ready to be back in the football business just yet. Well, you hire Lane Kiffin, you're trying to get back in the football business. You want to be relevant. I understand it's not an easy division, it's not going to be easy, and you know, they kind of had to, you know, maybe not do things completely on the up and up to get to where they were before, you know, in those years when they actually found a way to beat Alabama. The you know, Bo Wallace, the Shea Patterson, the, you know, the Connor and Kimdichie and that whole class and that group. So we'll see. That's a very interesting hire. I don't know what he's going to do at Ole Miss. It'll be fun, you know, but I think Ole Miss also wants to win football games. Not 100% sure he's the right guy to do that, but we shall see. Speaking of head coaches, a guy who a lot of people thought, including Mike Conley, might not be back at Penn State next year, James Franklin, just got a new six-year contract. It's going to run through the 2025 season at Penn State. Compensation agreed Friday. Doesn't really have the numbers here of what the contract is worth, but there has been a lot of, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, rumor and innuendo about the idea of him going to Southern Cal or maybe going somewhere else. Well, now we see that James Franklin will stay. When we talk about college football contracts, coaching contracts, what do I say all the time? It's only one number that matters. What's the buyout? That's all that matters. Doesn't matter how many years. Doesn't matter how much money he makes. Well, I guess it matters to him. But the idea is, what's the buyout? Because at the end of the day, if he's going to this school or that school, you know, coach A, B, or C, whoever it is, it's all about what your buyout is and how much does the school have to pay you. So that's all that matters in the world of college coaches. So James Franklin looks like he's going to be around for a while now at Penn State, for the good, the bad, the ugly of it. This is our college football roundup here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So Tua Tagovailoa, talking with, I was trying to see who he was talking through through on this. There is, who did he talk to? He talked to the newspaper. Well, anyway, Tua Tagovailoa had a quote where he was talking about whether or not he may be tempted to come back to Alabama or he's going in the NFL draft. When asked about it and, you know, asked or talked to about being a top 10 pick or top 15 pick, he said, I think that'd be tough to pass up, but there's a lot more to it that in some respects. So my guess would be if he gets a reading from the NFL College Advisory Committee that he's going to be a high first-round draft pick, that he comes back, he goes to the NFL. If it turns out because of injuries and things like that and guys are scared to, teams may be scared to draft him, then maybe he does come back to Alabama. Could you imagine if he does come back to Alabama? My goodness gracious. Whew. They're still going to have a lot of talent on that team. It's young, and they, you know, they still got plenty of talent, but it's crazy to think about. So I don't know. You know, certainly going out with a season-ending hip injury, not exactly what he had in mind. It says it's something I still need to sit down and talk to my family about. When talking about the NFL, he's got till January 20th to figure all of that out. So still plenty of time, but I'm sure he wants to get a lot more medical evaluation. I think that's probably what, because that's what it's going to come down to with Tua. Is he medically viable to play football in the NFL? If he is, then maybe he can, somebody will look to make a big pick out of him. If not, then maybe he comes back to Alabama for one more year. So, kid's got a lot of talent, no doubt about it. But if you can't hold up in a 12-game college season, hard for me to imagine how he holds up in the NFL for 16 games with those kinds of guys that are going to be going after him every single week. C.J. Henderson, cornerback for Florida, has declared for the NFL draft. No surprise there. But he's also going to sit out the bowl game as well. Interesting to already make that decision this early in the process when they don't even know where they're going bowling. Because, honestly, if Georgia wins, that puts Florida in the next best spot in the SEC because you're going to have two teams in the SEC that are going to be in the playoff. Now, I think Florida is going to end up either in the Cotton Bowl or the Sugar Bowl when all is said and done. If Georgia and LSU make the college football playoff poll, Florida could be the highest-ranked SEC team. If they're the highest-ranked SEC team, they go to the Sugar Bowl. I think the worst case is that consolation prize is they end up in the Cotton Bowl when all is said and done. That's if Georgia wins. Now, if Georgia loses, Georgia will go to the Sugar Bowl. And then Florida probably still goes to the Cotton Bowl, assuming they stay ranked ahead of Alabama, which I think they – I don't see how Alabama would get the benefit of the doubt over it, but I guess anything's possible. But Florida very much in the mix for a Big Six bowl game. They've had a pretty good season. So Henderson, one of the best cornerbacks in the SEC. No shock that a Florida cornerback is going to be a high draft pick. We seem to say that every single year. But interesting, he's already declared that I'm going to go in the draft. I'm going to sit out the bowl game. I mean, he's already made his intentions known. So I think if you're Dan Mullen, you want to know that now, right? You don't want to wait a few weeks and stuff like that, see what he's going to do. Go ahead and make the decision now, and we can move on. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind Henderson playing, but they can start to work on their next group of guys that they want to be their starting cornerbacks for that program. And then finally, also in the world of college football, we talked about coaches and such. Indiana just gave Tom Allen a extension on his contract. It's a new 7-year, $27.3 million contract after they just picked up their first 8-win season since 1993. Indiana's actually had a pretty darn good year. They actually were pretty good. They had a real chance to beat Penn State. Probably didn't play as great at home against Michigan. I think that game was a little bit disappointing. They were an upset special of mine, but Indiana actually having a good season. Let me put it this way. Indiana's been better. Indiana and Illinois, they've both been better than Purdue, Michigan State, Northwestern. Now, they've both been better than several of those schools being in the more top half of the Big Ten this year. So, good for him. And once again, you know, when we look at contracts like that and we say, okay, well, what's this contract worth at? Whatever, I don't care how much the contract is worth. Maybe we're $27.3 million, but how much is his buyout? How much is it going to cost the school to say, okay, I want him, and what's it going to cost me to go get him? That's what it comes down to. That's the world of college football that we live in for all of it. But good for him for getting a new contract and staying at the Indiana. We've been watching the Pac-12 championship game, by the way, too. 20-0 at the half, Oregon just handling this business over Utah. And I told you, I liked Oregon in this game tonight. I thought Justin Herbert was the guy. He's played really well. Utah's defense has been a disappointment. They haven't done a whole lot tonight. They haven't been able to slow down Oregon in their offense. So we'll see if there's a big comeback in the works. But Utah, who was in the playoff hunt, very quickly going to be out of that and probably knocked out of the Rose Bowl for it as well. All right, when we get back, we get to get ready for Sunday and another round of Who Are the Atlanta Falcons? We'll discuss and preview the game next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuck Green Show. Hanging out with you on a Friday. Yeah, we get the party cranked up in the Brown Liquor Music Hour, 404-741-0929. Shout out to all the lovely news girls that are on right now across all them different platforms. WSB, Fox 5, 11 Alive. Woo! Follow us on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Hot Take Tommy coming up at the top of the hour for your listening pleasure. We're going to be running off to Mike Conti's Christmas party. Mike Conti, going to be myself and Jarvis running up there. Then I think Brian Gebhardt's going to join us up there as well. He's doing Hornets basketball stuff. So, yeah, it'll be a few of us that are heading late to Mike Conti's Christmas party, so, which is always the official station party for both current and former 92.9 The Game employees, a chance to catch up with everybody. Falcons, Panthers coming up Sunday. And once again, we get into another week where who are the Atlanta Falcons at this point? I don't know. I mean, here's a few things to look at. You know, Carolina leads the NFL in sacks. Did you know they have the most sacks in the NFL? 46. I would not have known that stat without looking it up. I would have thought San Francisco, somebody like that, maybe the Patriots. The Carolina Panthers have sacked the quarterback more times than anybody this year. They obviously fired their head coach, Riverboat Ron. I'm trying to think, what made him a good head coach? Well, you know, he played for the 85 Bears and all that. You know, Carolina's not been real good of late. Of course, the Falcons haven't been good all year long, except for a two-game stretch. Chris Lindstrom back in the fold. We talked about that, about the fact that he is going to be back and he'll be getting some playing time. You know, hopefully that improves the offensive line. And they're going to need it. It's hard to get excited about what this Falcons offensive line is going to look like when, you know, they got sacked, 15 times in a five-day stretch, and now here comes the number one sack team in the NFL. And all of a sudden, I'm going to expect him to protect Matt Ryan and keep him upright. I don't know what to think. I really don't. I really don't. You know, they went up there and handled their business last time against this team, 5 sacks. Maybe they can do it again. I mean, you'd like to think they can do it again. It's not like Carolina's any good. You know, But that's the thing. If they can't keep Matt upright, it's not going to matter enough. It's not going to matter enough. And by the way, Carolina actually scores more points per game than the Falcons do, if you can believe that. Their offense scores actually a couple of points a game more than what the Falcons do this year. It's very quirky when you look at some of the numbers. But you'd like to think that the Falcons at home, where we talked about, I don't know why it's been so bad at home for the Atlanta Falcons. They're now 500 at home in the Dan Quinn era. And I understand you have a bad season or something like that, but even Mike Smith with two bad years at home was 39-17. But Dan, I mean, 19-19 at this point at home. I don't know what the deal is with that. Come out early. Establish yourself early. I still like the Falcons taking the ball first. I still believe in that. I think that's the better play, given the way that the defense has been. And the defense wasn't terrible against the Saints, but when you can't sack the quarterback, and that's where the Falcons live. I mean, that's the craziest thing is Falcons sack the quarterback, they got a shot to win the game. Falcons don't sack the quarterback, which they've done, what, five or six times this year, then they can't win. They just can't win. It's a strange dynamic, the way that this team has played itself out this year. Utah finally getting on the board. They finally decided to score a touchdown as we get the second half underway in the Pac-12 championship game. By the way, where is that game played? Is that at Levi Stadium in San Francisco? Where do they play? Where do they play that Pac-12? They're going to move it to Vegas when they build that stadium in Vegas. I know Vegas is going to get Pac-12. That's the perfect spot, by the way. Put the Pac-12 championship game in Vegas. But I think they might be at Levi where the 49ers play. Does that look right, Jarvis? Levi Stadium? Yeah, Levi Stadium. Yeah. So not Wrangler, not Lee Jean Stadium. It's Levi Stadium. But look, I don't know what to make of the Falcons and what their identity is this year. I don't think they play very disciplined. I don't think they're very well coached at times. Some of their personnel has been less than stellar. They haven't gotten a lot of overachieving performances this year out of much of anybody. It's been as disappointing of a year when you think about the Falcons and expectations as what they've had. It's been immensely disappointing for what they've brought. And I hope the Falcons win. I am rooting for them to win. I'm not rooting for trying to get draft pick position. Go win football games, you'll feel better. And if you got a good player personnel guy in GM, they'll find a good football player. Doesn't matter where you draft. You can draft anywhere in the draft. There are enough good football players to make a difference on your team that you get the right guy in the right situation for your team, things will be fine out there. So we'll have all the action right here, by the way, too, on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Pre-game will be at 11 o'clock. Paul Crane, woo! Harry Douglas with all of that. Then, of course, Dave and Wes will have the call. Tomorrow, don't forget, join us at Stats 92 on the game this Saturday. Pregame championship live broadcast will be at Stats Brew Pub off of Marietta Street. Live broadcast is going to go from 9 to 4. Doors will open at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Enter for a chance to win an autographed Herschel Walker jersey. Plus, going to be bar games and a chance to win a Stats gift card. So we're going to be there all day, basically, up until kickoff. So John and Hugh will be starting it early. Mike and Carl are going to do a one-hour show, and then college football game time. Andy will sit in for one of the segments with us, but college football game time will be out there from 1 to 4, so we will get it cranked up with the best college football show in the country. Myself, Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, breaking all these things down. We'll find out what happens with this Utah Pac-12 championship game tonight and see what goes from there. But Sunday, Falcons. Matt Ryan now top 10, 50,000-plus yards, and we talked earlier in the week. I think there are a lot of things that I want to see out of Atlanta. I mean, I think the Chris Lindstrom thing is a big deal. I think it is a big deal to get him back in the rotation and get him to where he's getting some snaps and some reps, and more than just the quality of his play, because that will be up and down. That's the reality of a rookie offensive lineman, is that there'll be some really good moments or will be some not-so-good moments. But more than the quality of play is getting those reps and preparing during the week and getting in the huddle and having to, be part of these calls and figuring out the tendencies of guys and prep work and film work. Just that whole scenario of getting him back in the fold and getting him real live action, I think is invaluable. Yeah, there's not a whole lot to play for, and hopefully he doesn't get his quarterback killed. But what you do is you try to get the work put into it now to where it's going to pay off, to where it's going to pay off later on, hopefully next year. You know, that would be the ideal plan is, look, got to get back on track. Falcons are still in a win-now mode. I mean, they still got to do what they have to do to win now. They don't have time to mess around. You got quarterback, wide receiver, running back, guys getting old. And I definitely think there's going to be a good bit of changeover on this roster, probably more dramatic than what we've seen over the last couple of years. Yeah, they have a lot of their core guys signed and in place. You know, Julio and Matt and Grady Jarrett and Debo, they've got a lot of guys signed. But there's a lot of guys up in the air. I mean, hard to imagine Vic Beasley being back here. Obviously, if they decide to go with a different head coach, could be even more player personnel turnover when it's all said and done. They may bring somebody else in here, and their eyes tell them, you know, you don't want half these guys on here. Anything's possible. Anything's possible, you know, with this. Jarvis asked me in one of the breaks, scale of 1 to 10, how much do I think Dan Quinn will be back next year? I said a 3. I said a 3 out of 10. I don't think it's a complete fait accompli that he's fired, but I think that if the season ended today, he'd be let go. Had they have kept winning and turned some things around and looked like they were headed in a good direction, then Arthur might not have been as quick to want to pull the trigger. But when you win two games the way that they did and they beat up the other team and then they go out and get beat, you know, back-to-back weeks, and especially that loss to Tampa Bay where you picked off Jameis Winston a couple of times and still couldn't do nothing with it. I think that tells you a lot about where this franchise is. I think it tells you a lot about, you know, when you can pick off the quarterback and make his life miserable and put him on the ground and you still can't win, says a lot. Says a lot. And at times it made Jameis Winston again look like he was the best quarterback in the NFL. And we say this all the time here on this show. You can take the most mediocre average NFL quarterbacks that are out there, but if you give them time, okay, you give them time to throw in a clean pocket, those guys will beat you. Yeah. Mike Glennon. Jarvis brought up the Mike Glennon. Yeah. It's a lot of these guys that if you give them time, I mean, say what you will, but they're still in the NFL for a reason. There still is some talent there. It's not that they're completely untalented. So even the worst quarterbacks can go out there and put up big numbers in the right situation. You protect them, keep them upright, don't put any pressure out of them. So sack the quarterback early in this game, get the crowd going, get a lead early, and be done with this thing. You know, put this team away early. You know, they're going to be playing for a new head coach coming up, so, you know, no need to go in there and mess around and make themselves feel better. And, yeah, they'll probably be a little bit pumped up because, you know, they're going to be excited about the idea of a new head coach. I know a lot of guys probably like Ron Rivera, but, you know, sometimes it is time to make a change. Yeah. At 5-7, they haven't done a whole lot. What does I tell you about where the Falcons are? Lordy. All right. Interesting story from ESPN.com and the trades that they want to see in the baseball winter meetings. Well, guess what? The Braves are part of that. I'll give you that story next and who they have in mind. Chuck me in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Oh, just got paid. It's Friday night. Party
hunter. Feeling right. When I see you on the street.
Sports Radio, 910 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckman Show, hanging out with you on a Friday night. Watching the Pac-12 championship. Oregon got out to that 20-0 lead. Utah scored. Looked like they're trying to make a little bit of a comeback, and then kind of defense letting them down here, and Utah driving it back down the field. Probably will get themselves into a field goal range. It should be there about now. They're at the 25-yard line, but, you know, of course, college kickers, you never know what's considered in a kicker's range or not in a range. So we'll see what happens here. Utah trying to fight their way back and try to stay in the college football playoff race. So ESPN had an article talking about the trades that they want to see happen in the winter meetings. And just to give you an idea. So they go in starting first they go with the big names of guys who potentially could be traded and some of the names we heard. They start with Mookie Betts. And basically the article is saying who they want them, who they think should trade from. They say the Boston Red Sox should trade Mookie Betts to the Cincinnati Reds. You know what? If I was Mookie Betts and they traded me to the Cincinnati Reds, I'd quit baseball. Honestly, I'd go sell car insurance. Why would I want to play for the Cincinnati Reds? He'd put up some monster numbers in that park. Imagine that park that they play in, and you just it's bombs away in their ballpark. Why would I want to go play for the Reds, though? They also say the White Sox is the other team. Why would I want to play for the White Sox? Jeez. That's two dreadful teams right there. That's a bad job. They have Francisco. They talk about Francisco Lindor, who has been linked and rumored to the, I shouldn't say linked and rumored to the Braves, but certainly would be a wonderful fit here for the Braves. And you know my thing about this is that as long as we get either Rendon, Betts, or Lindor, if we just get one of those guys, I'm going to be happy. They get nobody and they say, well, we couldn't afford this. Well, we couldn't do that. Then I'm going to be ticked off at how they operate. So the Indians should trade Francisco Lindor to the Philadelphia Phillies. They also list the L.A. Dodgers. Don't forget, Lindor is going to be asking for a ton of cash. That's why the Indians are trying to trade him. They say they can't afford to keep him, which is ridiculous, but okay, as they can't afford to keep him. So they say the Chicago Cubs should trade Chris Bryant to the Texas Rangers, okay? But then they say, because they give two teams for each player, but then they say, and this is from, let's see, what's his name? Schoenfeld, right? What's the guy's first name? I'm trying to remember the baseball writer. Dave Schoenfeld. He says at the winter meetings that the Chicago Cubs trade Chris Bryant to the Atlanta Braves for Christian Pache. The Cubs have been looking for a long-term plus center fielder for, well, pretty much forever, as was outlined recently by the Athletics' Sahadev Sharma. Pache, the Braves' top prospect, could well end that quest. Bear in mind that almost certainly wouldn't actually be a one-for-one deal. It's the heart of what would surely be a larger swap, and the Cubs would certainly want a taste of Atlanta's organizational pitching depth. Do the Braves have pitching depth in their organization? Because y'all try to keep selling me on that, and they, you know, not many guys have really panned out so far. But all right, anyway, we'll pretend that they have lots of depth and things like that. You could see the deal expanding to include Albert Almora, Kyle Schwarber, and even Contreras if the Braves would include Tyler Flowers. And if there's a sour aspect to the Cubs' lack of progress on extension with Bryant, perhaps the Braves would fare better. Say it would raise a lot of eyebrows for Alex Anthopoulos to deal as number one prospect for one season of Bryant. Didn't the Red Sox trade their number one prospect to go get Chris Sale? I don't care if he was on a one-year deal or 70-year deal. If you think you can win the World Series, go make whatever moves you can make. Go do what you have to do. Go win the World Series. That's the part of sports that just people, I don't know, they just, you know, writers and stuff like that can't wrap their arms around. What's the ultimate goal? There's only one goal: win the World Series. That's it. That's your goal. When I'm playing, I want to be playing in the very last game of the year or one of the last games of the year. They say the short-term motivations for the basic Bryant for Posse structure are simple. For Atlanta, Bryant's an MVP caliber player, could put them over the top. Cubs would get a possible rookie of the year contender and long-term solution in the middle of their field while also freeing up some money. All right. Would you take Chris Bryant for Christian Pache? I would. Because you know why? No prospect right now is safe. I'm sorry. But I'm tired of hearing about prospects and worrying about prospects. Braves have enough youth on their roster, okay? And I think the Braves are hurting for youth. Even Dansby and obviously Acuna and Albies. It's not like the Braves are hurting for youth. Austin Riley, okay? You know, even with the pitchers, Fried, Soroka, Newcomb. I mean, it's not like the Braves are searching for roster spots of guys to be young and more useful or youthful. Would I take Christian Pache and one or two other prospects, you get Chris Bryant. Yeah, I'm fine with having Chris Bryant here. I'd like to have a healthy Chris Bryant. I'd like to have the guy from a few years ago. Hard to imagine that Chris Bryant would be the MVP for the Cubs and then be traded like 2 years later, 2 or 3 years later. Crazy thought process to think about that, but that's the world that people live in baseball. You would think a guy like Chris Bryant should be a Cub for life, win a World Series, be the starting young third baseman, but, you know, it's how these teams operate. And the Indians, you know, keep trying to cry poor with Lindor. Oh, we don't have any money to sign him. They don't? Oh. See the TV contracts, TV deals? Oh, okay. Everybody's making a gazillion dollars, but they ain't got enough. I'd take, like I said, Francisco Lindor, take him in a heartbeat. Yeah, but they got Dansby, okay? And so you can have Dansby then too. Put him in the deal with Pache. You can have them both. I'll throw somebody else in if you need to. That's a gold glove caliber shortstop who, by the way, hits 35 homers a year. How many of those guys are running around the league? You got a expanded roster list of those guys. Tell me how many of those guys are available out there. 35 homer shortstops. So, look, I just want one of those big bats. I think it's one of the things that this lineup needs. Oregon kicked the field goal. So, 23-17, this game is kind of sputtering along here. And Oregon, they win. They'll be in the Rose Bowl, by the way. They'll take on maybe Wisconsin, maybe Minnesota, assuming Ohio State wins. Minnesota, Wisconsin. Well, it's not a bad matchup. Minnesota, Oregon would be kind of fun because those two teams will try to light it up on one another. But I expect big things. I don't like the fact, I wish that they would talk about some of these other guys being, you know, potential pieces. I mean, I like Chris Bryant, but truthfully, I'd rather have Lindor, and I'd also rather have Lindor, and I'd rather have Mookie Betts. I know I want Mookie Betts. I know for sure I want Mookie Betts. So, and Oregon, I think Oregon just turned it over. So, but yeah, I mean, I think they need another big bopper. Would you rather have Chris Bryant if you can find him for a long-term deal, or would you rather Josh Donaldson for a short deal? I don't know. Tough question. I want the Bryant of old, not the Bryant that can't stay healthy and trying to figure things out. All right, time for the Love TKO. Then hand off to Hot Take Tommy coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, Nacho in the Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.